In just a bit, the author of a series of guides to Paris recommends her favorite green spaces, where you can step away from the hubbub of the city and smell the roses in the French capital. Let's start today's Travel with Rick Steves with the husband and wife writing team of Jean-Benoît Nadeau and Julie Barlow. They offer insights on French language and culture in their books, The Bonjour Effect, The Story of French, and 60 Million Frenchmen Can't Be Wrong, to help explain the nuance, the je ne sais quoi, about how people operate in France. It doesn't matter so much how perfect your French pronunciation is. When you're in France, there are a few cultural insights you need to be mindful of to really communicate one-on-one with the locals. The husband and wife team of Julie Barlow and Jean-Benoît Nadeau shared what they discovered about how to speak French in their 2016 book called The Bonjour Effect. They're back with us today on Travel with Rick Steves after a book tour in France where the book has been translated into French for the French to learn about their own language, apparently. They join us now from the CBC studios in their home city of Montreal. Bonjour.
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 This is so fascinating that you write a book as Canadian French speakers. So you're fluent in French, but you're not actually French. How did that help you with your teaching mission of the book? You must have had a little more empathy with the rest of us tourists going to France who may have learned some French language in school, but we might be clueless about the fine points.
Well, the funny thing is that even though we speak French, and I'm just to be clear, I'm not a native French speaker. I learned French in school as well. But even though we're fluent French speakers and very familiar with French culture, we still have these terrible misunderstandings with the French. And the origin of the book was to sort of get to the root of why we go expecting perfect communication and we want to indulge in, you know, the art of French conversation. And we get there and it just doesn't work.
So for a French-speaking Canadian, you could fly to France thinking, yeah, I speak the language, and realize, oh, but I don't speak the culture.
Exactly.
Yeah, and even for me, because my mother tongue is French, but my culture is not French from France.
So what's an example of a surprise when you finally do get to France and you realize, oh, I guess I'm not quite as fluent as I hope to be?
The French say no all the time for anything. It's their default answer. In North America, and that's true for French Canadians, we tend to take a no for a no.
Right.
For the French, they say no sometimes just because they're afraid of making a mistake, so they prefer saying no. Because for the French, contrary to North Americans, being liked is not that important to them. It's not being at fault that matters. So saying no is the right thing to say. In the case of the French, it's often for fear of ridicule.
Mm-hmm.
For example, not knowing. Not knowing in France is ridiculous. You're supposed to know. So if they don't know, their default answer is no, because it's their anti-ridicule shield that they put in front of them.
But the important thing for, you know, travelers to understand is that no is, for the French, doesn't normally mean, you know, the conversation is over. I mean, they say it all the time.
So it's the beginning of a discussion about
this. It's just
this.
The beginning of a discussion. And so it's up to you to sort of pull up your pants and keep trucking and keep talking to them until you get whatever you want.
So can I check out of the room at 1 o'clock instead of noon? No. Well, then you talk about it a little bit, huh?
Then you talk. And eventually, you know, if they're going to change their mind, they'll change their mind. It's just...
They had a chance to sort of creep into the reality that they might bend the rules for you.
You explained your situation. It works that way in some hotels, and it's okay. And then sometimes they relax. Sometimes it's no. It's no because it's not possible. And you get that answer in the United States as well.
But you should expect it to start with no.
I get the sense that the French just like to discuss and even debate things. I mean, consensus is kind of boring. Let's talk about it. Let's spice it up.
Oh, yeah. And a conversation with them, you know, it's a story that Julie likes to tell, that we were at a supper and we were very North American. We were very polite. So we were giving our point of view as Quebecers and, you know, being polite and being nice. At one point, Julie realizes that, you know,
We're boring.
Yeah.
So she produces an enormity. The discussion was about Art Deco and she says, oh, I think Art Deco is fascist. You know, just like that. Then they look at us and they say, oh, yes,
that's great. And they love it. And then, you know, it just takes off like a bonfire and the conversation gets rolling. But if you, you know, behave yourself and you're too polite and too agreeing too much, looking for consensus and sharing things and stuff, they find that dull.
And the traveler is inclined to be polite and kind of mm-hmm. boring just because they don't want to make a faux pas and they want to be agreeable.
But in France, the way their education is at school and in the family is that they value a lot what they call culture générale, the general knowledge, history, art. Mm-hmm. And so North Americans, these kinds of things, they tend to view it a little bit elitist. Someone
yeah.
who would display too much general culture, you would regard that person as elitist. And people who have a lot of general culture tend to hide it.
So that's not a socioeconomic thing. People of any class could be well-versed in politics and mm-hmm. history and literature and so on.
So they do welcome that. And for North Americans who have a lot of culture along those lines, it's actually quite relaxing to be in Paris because you could just start talking about that.
Yeah.
And people will be immediately interested.
But the French come off as showing off a little bit because they like to display their knowledge, but it's really part of how they're raised. Our kids were in school the year we were researching this book, and we saw how the education system really promotes it. Our daughters were asked to one day do a presentation on they're 10 years old, a French classic painter, you know, so they had to go. And, you know, we got back to North America, and the project was, you know, pick your favorite body part and talk about it. I mean, it's just radically different, but they're trained this way and it's highly valued. It just can sort of set off foreigners who are expecting something more humble.
But I always think it's kind of like show and tell on Monday morning when you're in fourth grade. You're not better than somebody else. You just want to show them what you learned the other day or what you did or what you've got.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in France that stimulates the conversation. It's a delightful part about France.
It's something to talk about, and they like talking about stuff. So, you know, opinions and facts. They like lots of content in their conversation.
Our guests today on Travel with Rick Steves are Jean-Benoît Nadeau and Julie Barlow. They're a husband and wife team of Canadian writers based in Montreal. And after a decade of living in France, they wrote up what they had discovered about the unwritten rules beyond vocabulary about speaking French in France rather than in Canada. Their book is The Bonjour Effect, and it helps us understand the subtext and what's expected when speaking in France. We have a link to their website with this week's show, and it's at ricksteves.com/radio. Now, Julie and Jean-Benoît, you, I understand, translated your book, The Bonjour Effect, into French, and you just got back from a tour of France. What was it like as Canadian teachers and writers and French speakers going to France with a book that was supposed to explain how their language is different than in other cultures?
I was afraid a little bit that they would be a bit defensive, you know?
Yeah.
But they were very warm to it, to us. In fact, we did a lot of very long interviews, like 45, 50 minutes on radio, TV, newspapers. And their reaction is one of curiosity. They are not necessarily conscious of what they project. And since our book is very honest in the sense that we take our perspective very clearly, our perspective as North Americans, they find it interesting because it gives them a perspective on North America.
They could learn about themselves too, I suppose.
As well, indeed.
Were they humble about that? Did they go, oh, that's...
They were surprised. We were in a journalism class one day, and there was a student who got up in front of the class and said, you know, I didn't really believe you about these things, particularly about bonjour, you know, this word that you have to say all the time.
Yeah.
We have a whole chapter about how necessary it is to say bonjour. And he said, so I went and tested it, and I went into my bookstore in my neighborhood, and I didn't say bonjour and saw what would happen. And he said, indeed, no one talks to you if you don't start the conversation with bonjour. And he said, you know, I felt so uncomfortable. And he said, you know, you're right. We have this word that we have to use to sort of unblock every kind of communication.
And they might not have realized that had they not had the exposure from somebody from far away. It's related to my theory that you learn about your own culture when you leave it, because you can look at it from afar and you can gain a perspective that other people have on us. And you might not even realize that when you're immersed in the middle of it. You mentioned in your book how the French, they don't talk about money, but sexual innuendo is no problem at all.
Yeah, they are not afraid of making a comment to that effect. One of the reasons why the North Americans think that they are very libertine is the fact that the place of women in that society has always been peculiar. French women have had civil rights a bit later than American women. But in fact, French women in society, in conversation, have had a stupendous place for centuries. So it's very interesting. French women worked a lot earlier in numbers. So in France, the relationship between men and women was not something confined to the home. It was something that was lived publicly for a long time.
Well, it's funny because at once you have a culture that, you know, to many North American women seems kind of sexist, partly because the jokes about sex are they make them easily in public. And, you know, it can be a little off-putting for a North American woman. At the same time, they have a society that's very, very well organized for women, for parents, but let's be honest, for women, with, you know, school that starts very early, guaranteed daycare, and a whole bunch of services in place that make it easy to work and have kids at the same time. And a larger proportion of women work outside of the home in France. And there's also the long history of French women being more part of the conversation in the culture. They participate as equals. And of course, in the conversation, the French aren't looking for consensus. So you don't have couples that are sort of together projecting one point of view. You have couples who are, you know, arguing in front of everybody. And so, you know, women have to sort of step up to the bat, I guess.
It's interesting because socially, the place of women has been high for a long time. And French women, by law, retain their birth name on their état civil, on their official registry. But when we went to get our resident card, Julie was surprised to see her name, Julie Barlow, wife Nadeau, épouse Nadeau. Ah. And it's very interesting because a couple of years back, they made laws to forbid terms like mademoiselle and you know, because it was sexist. But on their resident card, they have to have, they feel obliged to write Barlow, wife Nadeau.
And I argued with him. I said, I'm not, you know, I don't even have his name. And they said, oh, well, that's the way things are done. You know, so it's still kind of sexist. Yeah. It's still there.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking about the French culture and the French language with Julie Barlow and Jean-Benoît Nadeau.
Claire Simone. J'espérais avoir une chance de vous parler d'art. L'art dérobé.
Je sais qui vous êtes.
Alors, vous avez quel genre à dire?
J'en sais rien. Would you stop speaking in French? Whatever language you're speaking.
Well, if it weren't for us, you'd be speaking German.
No. If it wasn't for you, I might be dead. But I would still be speaking French.
What stories do you have to share about trying to communicate in France? We're at 877-333-RICK. There's more just ahead with the authors of The Bonjour Effect, The Story of French, and 60 Million Frenchmen Can't Be Wrong on Travel with Rick Steves.